motion picture reference. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. There are so many different things to talk about in what we have just prayed, but I'm going to speak to you now about something that although I speak about it a lot, I wonder if it's efficacious. More than 35 years ago, I joined the church, and on the date that I was to be baptized, my father of confession told me that the night before I was to join the church, I would have to confess. And I asked him, "How do I confess?" And he gave me this passage in the Bible. He gave me this passage. Now, I read it at least half a dozen times, maybe 10 times, trying to find out, where's the confession? There are no words, are there? There are no words. The woman's not saying anything. She's evincing something, showing forth something that could be taken a number of different ways. You know, most of the time when people cry, they are crying because they are feeling sorry for themselves. They're feeling sorry. I remember attending the sentencing of a young man who had crashed into the back of women's cars. And when they came out, the women that is, to exchange information with him, he would bludgeon them and go through their purse, steal their money to maintain his drug habit. And the judge sentenced him to 6 months in jail for every offense. So he got 9 years. And at the sentencing, some people from St. Mark's Church were there, and I was there, and his immediate family was there, and he turned around and he had this face that was completely red and swollen with tears. And he was crying. Well, what do you take? What do you take from that? Was he sad that now he's going to have to face the consequence of the acts that he has committed? Is he sad because he perpetrated this violence on 18 different women? Is he sad because of the shame that he has brought to his family? What is the cause of his tears? Are there manifold causes? Many reasons for why he's feeling this way? What was I to infer as a brand new catechumen about my father of confession, his instructions? Read this. What do you think? What do you think the meaning is? It's easy to speak. It's easy to speak. I confronted my grandson with an error that he had made, and I asked him, "Why did you do it?" The thing that he had done. He said, "I don't know." I took it to heart that he didn't know, but he was confessing. He was crying, and he was sorry. Not because I never raised my voice at my grandson. He's the only person in the world I can say that about. Everybody on the road, supermarkets. But I am always solicitous with regard to his feelings. I'm always kind. And he was sorry. He didn't know how to express it. Now, there are some times when he has been caught doing something that he ought not to have been doing. He will give an excuse. And he will be clever. At 5 years old, he is already a wordsmith. He knows how to adjudicate himself from any problem. And then you know it's not confession. It's rationalization. There is such a difference between confession and rationalization. Rationalization means to give an account of the circumstances of your sin in such a way that they bear the burden of the immorality and not you, the actor, in that missing of the mark, the hamartia. Look, I want you to understand something about the nature of purgation. Think of yourself as a vessel. You're full of all kinds of stuff. You're full of all kinds of stuff. But when you find something inside yourself that is really ugly, you want it out. Think about something that you've eaten that has turned ugly inside your stomach. You want it out. You want it out. People take laxatives or people take emetics like syrup of squill or Ipecac to vomit things. They will give people stuff to induce vomiting so that the thing that is in them will not do them any more harm. Get it out. When you become sensitive to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the things that you do that hurt Him begin to hurt you also. And so you are looking for a purgation to purge yourself. Means to vomit. Or, emotionally, it means to cry. That's why the fathers of the church have always said that confession should be like a small baptism. Because you baptize yourself once anew in the correct faith with your own tears. But so many people give an account of what they've done with the stoicism of a person that would seem to be so incredibly callous. You can't be filled up any more by God unless you remove something ungodly from yourself. Think of yourself as a pie chart. And there is this wedge that is loving the world far too much. Unless you get rid of a percentage, at least, of that wedge, God cannot fill you up with any more of His holiness. The glass is already taken up in volume by things other than what God would have you filled with. You being the vessel, you being the glass, you being the empty soul through kenosis, through which sanctification becomes possible by your compliant will to the will of the one that created you. You have to empty yourself. And the way that this woman was at his feet was emblematic of that. She was emptying herself. Every tear that she had was because of the sadness about having made a bad choice. a really bad choice. How she had shamed herself, shamed her family, shamed her people, shamed her generation, shamed the people that trusted her, shamed the people that taught her in school. How she had shamed all of them with her bad behavior. And as she recounted these sins, she was racked with sobs. Have you ever considered how many tears it would take to wash someone's feet? It wasn't a small thing. So when my father of confession gave me this, he said, look inside. Look inside. What do you want to rid yourself of? What do you want to let go of? What do you want to throw out so that I can refurnish this dwelling in which you invite me to live? The publican, he says to the Lord, it is not meet, it is not fit for you to come under the roof of my house. The roof is your brain, your intellect, your education, your experience. The roof of your house is the one that decides whether or not the house needs cleaning. If you do not think you need cleaning, you will not make progress in your life. You are like a person who is exhausting himself, treading water, instead of making deliberate strokes toward land. And sooner or later, you will tire. Fatigue overtakes the best of us, and then we begin to sink. Sprinkle me with hyssop, and I shall be made clean. Wash me, and I shall be made whiter than snow. Those are the passive acts that we request from our Savior. But before these, there must be the invitation to Him. I want to be with you. I want to be with you and not with the world. I want to be with you and not with my own desire. Failing that, I called up a friend when I was in seventh grade. I lived above Beverly, which was kind of a demarcation point for a better district in Whittier. If you lived above Beverly Boulevard. It's not now. Whole thing is a ghetto. But at the time when I lived there, it was a nice place. And my father, as I told you before, was an alcoholic. He wasn't in the house, and it was me and my mom. And I had a friend named Craig Kleeman. I have no idea where Craig is. His father was a cop. And I asked Craig, hey, you want to go horseback riding? The Monterey Stables from my house were about 2 miles away. 2 miles away. Craig's house from my house was another mile and a half. So Craig would have to ride his bike over to my house, and then we would ride together over to the stables, and then we would get on the horses and ride for an hour. Well, Craig didn't want to do that. It's too much riding for him, he thought. So the first thing he asked his dad when I called up and I said, hey, you want to go horseback riding? He said, Dad, can I go horseback riding? His dad said, yeah, you can go horseback riding. Then when Craig heard what my plan was and thought it was too far for me, he said, Dad, can you take us? And I heard his dad say over the telephone, what the hell kind of invitation is that? It's exactly what he said. And to this day, it hurts. I didn't have any better way to ask. I didn't have anybody to stand up. My mother never drove a car in her life. Never. It was so humiliating, I can't even begin to tell you. And as I say, I was in seventh grade. That means I was 12. I'm soon to be 68. So it's that long ago, and the pain is still there. I hear it over the phone. What kind of invitation was that? Now, we can make that kind of feeble invitation to the Lord, and He will not turn us down. He will say, yeah, I'll come get you. I'll come get you. But I am just amazed and surprised that people who are in churches everywhere do not avail themselves of confession. It is like the thing that is on their mind is the embarrassment of the acts that they have committed, rather than give me an opportunity to get this dirt out of me. Allow me the purgation. Allow me to be filled with your holiness, Lord, with your perfection, with your blessing, with your loving kindness, with all of your gifts. Why do people not come to confess regularly? Why? Why? Is it because the mind says, as I look around the room, I'm doing much better than all you all? That's an originalism for anybody who listens to this from the South. See, it's so ignorant. It's so ignorant. The one who benefits from confession is the one who really looks inside and says, I need to get rid of this stuff. You know, the saddest thing in the whole world is the man who is possessed of such wealth that he can do anything that he wants to do, and then at the end of his life finds that he has no pleasure in any of it. In any of it. And there is story after story about how people, before they have come from the brink of suicide, have found God, and that made all the difference. Made all the difference. I told you before, John Stuart Mill, purportedly one of the people that had on record an IQ of over 200, was near suicide. When he looked at the sunset, he saw stratification of gas. He didn't see beauty. And he didn't find beauty until he read the poetry of Samuel Taylor Coleridge. He wrote things like Kubla Khan. But as the early Greek philosopher said, all three in one voice. Truth is beauty, beauty is truth. And when he saw this, he saw not just the aesthetics. He saw God. God saves. More precisely, Jesus saves. Now, I can go into things far afield. As a matter of fact, my mind keeps moving, because I remember that night that I spent sleepless, wondering what I was going to say to a priest. And what I was going to say about the way that I had comported myself in my first 30 years of life. And having this single filter through which everything must be processed. I say to you that if you cannot reach the level inside yourself where you have hatred for sin, you will return to it like a dog eating his own vomit. People come to me over and over and over in confession, and they say, well, I'm going to tell you the same thing I've always been telling you. And I go inside myself, duh. You're telling me with such a flat affect, you might as well be reading the headline of, a month-old newspaper. Means nothing to you. There's nothing coming from it. Now, I guarantee if I just took the end of your little finger and held it in a vise, there'd be screaming and crying, there'd be wailing, gnashing of teeth, there'd be the whole shebang. Just for the end of your little finger or your little toe. How about your soul? There doesn't seem to be an acknowledgement about how profound this confession was. Just that she's, what, an emotional woman? No, she was purging herself. To be filled with something means first to empty yourself of all other things. To be partially filled means to hold on to some lusts, some desires, to keep them. And the Lord knows. Never, never do I want anybody to fear me. Never. Think of Jesus only. Only think of Jesus. Never worry about the priest. The priest has his own problems. But I remember this and will remember this till the day I die. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. To the day I die, never go away. And I want you to remember it. In this sense, as I say, there are many topics that we can cover in the explication of this gospel. But I want you to think about your own personal confessional life, how it may be improved, how it may be vivified, how it may be efficacious. Glory be to our God in His holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.